Good morning and welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with my friend Ron Deal from the Family Life Ministry in Arkansas. Ron, I know you've been watching the Olympics during the past couple of weeks, and it's been really exciting to see the number of Christian athletes who aren't afraid to openly express their faith. And in case our listeners missed it, who are some of the believers that have either shared their faith during an interview or have been seen praying before or after their event?
I got to tell you, I am a fan of the Olympics. I ran a little track in high school myself. So, of course, that makes me an expert. And, you know, all the people listening right now who can relate to that in some way, you tried that once, and then Usain Bolt goes out and, you know, runs another, 9.800 meters and wins his third gold medal in a row. That's over a 12-year span. I mean, think about that for a minute. That's 12 years at the top of his game, beating everybody in the world at the biggest event in the world. It's never been done before. You know, those kinds of things are amazing. And then when you see him get into the blocks and he prays, you know, he crosses himself. He points up to God. He acknowledges that there's somebody bigger than him in the universe. And, you know, it feels good. Then two other guys I've watched, South Africa's Wade Van Niekerk broke Michael Johnson's 400 meter record just the other day, set a new world record, 40.03 from lane eight. Bill, nobody has ever won anything in lane eight. That's the lane where you're out in front of everybody else and you can't see where your competitors are and you're right. Running blind. And he set that record and beat Michael Johnson's 17-year record. Unbelievable. And then to hear him talk about his faith and his coach's faith and how important that is to him and where he comes from, and he knows who he is and he knows what's important in the world. And then Allison Felix, who is a U.S. women's champion, 200 meters, 400 meters, one of the best in the world, just got silver in the 400 meters. Her whole family meets with her before the race, and they pray before she walks out on the track. You know, those kind of stories get told in an event like the Olympics in ways that normally you can't get that kind of TV time to talk about faith as it relates to people. But these people have this incredible opportunity to share that. And whether it's at the end of the race, acknowledging God or saying, I want to thank God for, you know, giving me the opportunity, whatever those little comments are, you know, we don't always know what that means for those particular people, but they are in their own way pointing out God and faith is important to them. And so the world is their stage at that point. I just think that is an awesome thing when that happens.
What's sad, Ron, is that although these incredible athletes can express their faith so openly without any fear of repercussions, that doesn't hold true for many people in environments right here in the U.S. I mean, I'm guessing right. You're hearing those stories more and more often at Family Life.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you and I get to talk about God on the radio because this is a Christian station. But if we were on a different kind of station, people would expect you to not do that, and they might even be a little offended if you did. And you know, most of the people listening to us right now work in some sort of secular context, and faith is not a part of the organization or the business or the school that they're a part of. And we just all know that you're supposed to take that out. And, you know, not too long ago in our culture and in American life, you could talk freely about your faith. But more and more, that's something that's supposed to be edited out, and it's difficult. Again, it's ironic. Athletes get to do this in the public sphere, but if you mention God at work or at school, you might get into trouble.
So let's talk about maybe the positive aspect of this. What are some of the ways that we as believers can appropriately share our faith in a secular setting, like let's say a corporate office environment? My pastor has been preaching on the life of Daniel recently, and one of the things that really stands out about Daniel is that even before he brings up his faith, he earns the right to be heard through his honesty, his integrity, his work ethic. I'm guessing, Ron, that you would agree that's the place we need to start.
That's exactly the place we need to start. When we prove that were genuine and sincere and have high integrity. It does give you an opportunity in some very gentle and subtle ways to connect your faith, your values, to what's happening in life. And by the way, that's really the thing we're talking about here today, is we're just kind of inviting people to wonder, you know, how can I do that in my work environment in a soft and gentle way, not overpowering, not running over people, but, you know, when there's a moment of glory, like, you know, you just won a gold medal or you just landed a big account, the organization just reported good profits, somebody just patted you on the back and said, thanks for a job well done. Well, what about in that moment, if you just kind of took advantage and just said, you know what, you know, I'm thankful to God for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Just something simple that communicates that, you know, this matters to you. You're a person of faith, and that's a part of who you are, even in the work environment. If you, as you just said, like Daniel, are walking with integrity and honesty and have earned the right to lead people with your opinions, and then they see, oh, faith is what got you there. Faith is what moves you in that direction to be a person of integrity. Now, all of a sudden, you know, that is inviting them to be even more curious and more interested in faith itself. And you're moving people towards God.
The other thing that's happening there is you really are standing out in that most people that are not believers, when they receive accolades, they kind of, well, thanks. Yeah, I'm, you know, I did it. Me and my team were pretty great. and by actually, you know, pointing to God, and again, even in a subtle way, not that we have to give a 3-point sermon right there, but in pointing to God and thanking Him for the opportunity, the abilities, that is really going to, I think, for most people, and some might be offended, but I think for most people in an office environment or a school environment, they're going to stand back and go, wow, this person, he's not a big, doesn't have a big ego. He's not a narcissist. He's actually giving credit to his God.
There you go. You know, humility is incredibly attractive. You know, it just is. It makes you want to be around that person even more. That's true in every context in our life. That's true in husband-wife relationships. You know, a humble husband is easy for his wife to be around, and vice versa. It's true for children being attracted to a coach or somebody of influence, a teacher. It's true in the political environment. It's true, absolutely true, in our work environments. And what are we really doing? You know, Bill, here's the point. We're connecting faith to life. And ironically, let's just pull back a second. Ironically, so many Christians are really like a lot of people in the world, that we segregate faith and life. We kind of even do it with our time. We go to church on Sunday and then we leave. That's the faith place. And then we leave and go into our secular lives, and that's where we just live life. And how often are we, you know, talking to God moment to moment about what's happening in our life? That's connecting faith to life in our own spiritual world. But when we talk about it out loud, we're helping other people get that everything that happens is spiritual. Everything is connected to God, whether you really realize that or not. So a simple little comment is connecting faith and life. And again, like I said, we don't want to be in your face. We want to be very gentle about our faith and what that means for us. There's no need to overwhelm people. You know, we're not going to offer an altar call because you landed the account, so you're going to call people to come forward and pray. No, we don't need to do that. You know, we just need to do the simple little thing, a small comment, whatever it is, even if it's a passing comment, it connects faith to life. And I think that invites people in, especially people who have an openness to that.
We're talking to Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended for the Family Life Ministry in Arkansas. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Ron Deal from the Family Life Ministry. We've been talking about the Olympics and all these incredible athletes who are willing to share their faith openly, boldly, after they win an event or even lose an event, and willing to pray beforehand and seem to really have no fear of expressing their faith in Jesus Christ. Can we learn from that in our own school environments, in our work environments? Ron, We talked about some of the appropriate ways to share our faith earlier, but let me ask you this. There are some Christians who feel a need to really be in your face about their faith at work, which always backfires. What might motivate a person to do that? What's really going on, let's say, psychologically with that person? And why is it really contrary to the way that God would have us share the good news?
Well, you know, I think sometimes people just have a great sense of urgency about helping those they care about to become a believer and follow Jesus Christ. And so perhaps there's a sense that time is short, or, you know, they just really care about the well-being of others. And so there's this pressing need to kind of push the other person to make a commitment. And I understand that. My dad is an evangelist, and he has traveled the world in communicating with people. And I certainly understand the heart of that. But I think how you go about it, your tactics really matter. And there is a time and a place and a gentleness that really helps people receive it well, in particular in a work environment where there may be some repercussions if you're pushy. And so I think people just need to weigh those out and checks and balances and realize that there's a tremendous influence that comes from just living well. And then, as we've talked about, making those subtle little connections of faith to life that invites other people to pursue that a little bit further with you.
Mm. We talked before about connecting faith to life, and that's something that parents should be doing on a regular basis. And one strategy that you suggest is something you call thinking out loud. Can you kind of explain what that looks like?
That's when you're driving down the road, you pick your kids up from school, or you're headed to soccer practice, or, you know, all the myriad of things that we do with our kids in the car, and you start thinking out loud. I mean, we always, as adults, we're always thinking about money and finances and what's coming down the road and decisions we've got to make, and we're processing those internally, and so often our kids never get to hear our thought process. They don't get to hear dad saying, you know, we're trying to, we've got an extra $200 this month, and we're trying to figure out, your mom and I are trying to figure out what to do with that. And we've been giving some consideration to some things that we'd like to do and some that things that would be fun, but you know what, honestly, we're also seeing a need with a ministry at church, and so we're trying to weigh that out. And, you know, I'm not even sure what we're going to do, but these are some of the things that we're thinking. And so all you're talking through your thought process, letting your child hear the what happens when a person of faith is trying to apply faith to life. That's how, what's one of the greatest ways to teach our children to do the very same thing without ever saying, now, what would you do, son? Or, you know, how would you handle this? You're just talking out loud, surrounds them with, oh, faith does connect to life in very simple and everyday ways. That's really huge. And when we do that over and over, and as our children grow, it really helps shape their worldview and their faith.
Mm. Can you talk about some of the practical ways that maybe you've taught faith lessons to your own kids? Because I know you've got a pretty full household.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the ways we, Nan and I, would do that, that kind of became special for us when our kids were really young. We'd see a sunset or a rainbow, or, you know, driving by the mountains, and you're just going, ah, that's amazing. And we would connect that to, you know, to faith. And we'd just say, you know, I really think that sunset is God's way of saying, I'm here and I love you. Mm. You know, and I'm a creative God. And, you know, so all of a sudden we're connecting just those simple little moments in life to the God who loves us, and giving voice to what we know and understand about God. I think that's really huge. I also tell parents that they should tell their kids three stories. I hope we've got a little time. Let me just tell you, three stories every parent should tell their children. Number one, your faith story. Number two, your extended family's stories of faith. And then number three, the biblical stories. Now, the third one, the biblical story, is what we do at church. We kind of do that. If we ever sit down and read a children's Bible or talk to our, you know, whenever we're talking about people in the Bible, we're sharing the biblical story. That's what parents kind of naturally do. But the other two, you'd be surprised, Bill, how many parents have never told their children how they came to faith, why they decided to become a Christian, what their struggles were, and, as I said earlier, ongoing thoughts about faith, maybe even their doubts. Sharing with your kids a season of your life where you struggled to trust God, where you wondered if God was really listening, where you felt like you were under pressure and temptation, and then you fought your way through. And those are the real moments of life. And when your kids hear you talk about those things, share those stories, they have this, it gives them a complete picture of what faith looks like in a real person's life. Oftentimes, the picture we give our kids of what faith looks like is this arbitrary, everybody's happy and singing worship songs to God sort of thing. No, no, no. Let's share with them the trenches of life and how we struggled with it, or Uncle Charlie, or, you know, Aunt Sherilyn, and how she went through this season of her life and how she became a Christian and what it looks like and how it changed her marriage, or how she made different decisions about her money and she bought a smaller house so that she could be sharing with others. All of those little things become a living testimony to our children. And they're connected to those people, their family with those people. And so that even strengthens the power of that testimony even more.
Boy, some great advice. Those three stories you got to tell to your kids. Ron Deal from the Family Life Ministry in Arkansas, thank you once again for your great insights. And I want to encourage folks to go to familylife.com for some great resources, including Ron's great resources for blended families and remarried couples. So thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.